You're going along. Life is good. You're feeling good, right? That darkness has kind of subsided. You're feeling good. And then all of a sudden, bam, you are hit hard and knocked over, and you don't actually know where or why that darkness has, or that anxiety has settled on you again. You know, today we are going to talk about the importance of gut health on mental health, because there is a direct correlation, and it definitely needs to be addressed, because I've seen this with many of my clients that this exact thing happens, right? They're cruising along, all is well, and you know, because of something that they eat or drink, it sets them back. And so grab a piece of paper and or a journal and a pen, and I'm going to be giving you some information about the importance of looking after our gut health and how to do that in a simple, easy way. Welcome to Ditching Depression for Busy Moms. Have you ever woke up in the morning with that dark cloud of despair threatening to consume you, and you just wish you had someone to talk to? Someone that understood where you are and could maybe encourage you or motivate you on some level? Someone that could give you tools to help you feel better? I've got you covered, my friend. My name is Melanie Borbo, and I have been working with women for the last few years to help them overcome depression and anxiety naturally. I'm a wife, I'm a mom, I'm a daughter of the King, and I'm here to help with whole health solutions, strong faith, and motivating mind shifts. So if you are ready to get your happy back, then grab your gratitude journal and let's get ready to spread some sparkle. Hey, I wanted to share some feedback that I got from a lady when just after my podcast launched the other day. She said, "Your podcast sounds so awesome, Mel. I sent them to two people already. Thank you for doing this." And that is the beautiful thing. If you have been blessed and you feel like you know people that could actually be encouraged or motivated or use the tools that I'm sharing on these podcasts, then by all means, share it. It's not meant to be kept silent. It's meant to go out into the world. And so I thank you for being here, and I thank you for your feedback. It warms my heart. So we thank you so very much, and let's get into it. Did you know that by 40 years old, 50% of people will have dealt with some kind of mental illness? That is such a huge number, right? And at such a young age. And so I want to touch on our brain for a minute, because we need to understand the power of our brain to understand the power of the second brain. So I'm going to get into that. So listen to these astounding facts about the brain. And this is from Dr. Neil Nedley's book called Depression, The Way Out. And this is what he says. The brain comprises only 2% of the total weight of the body, but yet it utilizes 15% of the body's total metabolism, contains 100 billion nerve cells or neurons, and one neuron can communicate with as many as 200,000 other neurons. Isn't that amazing? That's the power of this little tiny thing inside of our head. So, do you think that something could possibly go wrong with that little organ inside of our head? Absolutely. There is a gazillion, 200,000 different synapses happening and movements happening inside of our brain on a regular basis, right? So things can definitely go wrong. However, just because something goes wrong in our brain, we don't have to accept that that's the way that it is. There's many, many lifestyle things that can improve our brain, improve our mental health. And that's what we're going to touch on today, because I want to talk to you about something called the second brain. Now, this is actually the gut, or the gut microbiome. And the reason it's called the second brain is because the brain actually listens to the gut more than it tells the gut what to do. So 80% of messages go from the gut to the brain, and only 20% go from the brain to the gut. So this is pretty significant, right? Like, we need to pay attention. If our gut is talking to our brain that much, we definitely want those to be good messages. So our gut actually uses the same neurotransmitters as the brain. And 95% of the body's serotonin is found in the gut. Now, this is important because sometimes depression meds will change the serotonin level And that's designed to do that, right? That's what somehow some of these meds work. But the side effect to those meds in some instances is gut issues, IBS, or, IBS is the one that I'm thinking of right now. So there is a direct correlation between the gut and the brain, right? There is also, inside of our gut, there's an entire ecosystem of bacteria, good and bad. We have both, right? We have the good bacteria, and we also have bad bacteria. So what we want are the bacteria in our gut is actually has a very important job of direct interaction with the brain, right? So if our microbiome, which is inside of our gut, if our microbiome is sending bad messages to our brain 80% of the time, that's going to really impair what happens inside of our brain, right? Our gut microbiome actually influences things like our mood, our energy levels, our metabolism, our cravings. And how many of those things are connected to depression and anxiety, right? And maybe you don't know that yet. I'm speaking from a place of, you know, seeing this happen and working and researching this. But if just know that there is a direct correlation. And I'll give you some examples. I won't name names because, again, I don't have permission to do that here. But and I want to keep my clients, you know, privacy and confidentiality safe. So a couple of my clients, actually more than a couple, it's happened to more than, I think, oh man, I bet you it's, I should be keeping track. But I know two for sure that have direct things happen when they eat something or drink something. So one of my clients was doing really good. Everything was going really well. You know, they were just feeling really good and happy. And then I got a call. And actually, this is both of them close to the same time. I got a call from them. Oh, like everything's bad. You know, I'm back in the dark. Everything is terrible. I got anxiety again. And what happened? Well, my first question is, okay, well, what have you done? What have you been watching? What have you been eating? What have you been drinking? And both of them have come back and said, well, I didn't have anything. One of them came back and said, I didn't have anything. I just had some ice cream. And the other one came back and said, well, I did have a couple cans of pop. And I went, okay, the thing was that this happened more than once with both of these people. And so I started to see a pattern, and I'm like, okay, so do you see what happened? You were doing good, following the guidelines, following the, you know, all the things, all using the tools. And then you added something in, and that something caused you to, you know, revert back, right? So when are we going to stop eating or drinking that particular thing? That's the question that I would ask them, because I'm thinking, if you see the pattern and I see the pattern, you have to take away the cause. You have to take away the cause before you can actually heal the symptoms, right? And I'm sorry if you can hear the water running. It's my tower garden. So hopefully it's not too noisy on this podcast. But we have to get to the root cause. We have to get rid of the thing that's causing the problem, and the symptoms will go away. You're going to hear me say that many, many, many times on this podcast, because it is absolutely true. So let's talk about what happens when there is more bad bacteria in your gut than good bacteria. And I'm going to get into how to have more good bacteria, but for now, I want you to see the symptoms. So these are symptoms of bad bacteria, like an overpowering bad bacteria in your gut. Feeling spaced out, difficulty with memory, difficulty concentrating, fatigue, depression, anxiety, irritability, mood swings. Do you see how many of those symptoms are actually the same symptoms that people suffer with when they have depression or anxiety? You see how, like, they're interconnected, right? The health of our gut directly affects our mood and emotions and our mental health in general. So I want to touch on this briefly. Again, I'm not going to go deep into this whole med thing, not on this podcast anyway, but meds are designed to treat the symptoms, right? any kind of depression med or anxiety med are designed to treat the symptom. They're not a cure. No medication ever will be a cure. I hate to break it to you, but it's only designed to treat those symptoms. So it's to get a person from point A to point B, right? To feel better in between. But if we're more focused on the cause, we're going to want to do more than just get from point A to point B. We're going to want to thrive, right? That's what I want for you. And that's what I know God wants for you, is for you to thrive and be your best. So in order to heal our brain, we have to give it tools. We have to give it tools that can heal it. Because our body is an amazing thing. This body that we have, this brain that we have, is absolutely amazing. If you would stop for 5 seconds and just think about all the functions and all the systems that happen inside of our brain, that happen inside of our body, that happen inside of each cell, it's quite miraculous. It is beyond anything that our brains can actually comprehend, what the body and the brain are capable of. So if we give our brain tools and building blocks to build a healthier foundation, we're going to need many things. And I'm going to talk about those over the next coming episodes. But the one that I want to focus on today is nutrition, because it is the most studied component of epigenetics. Epigenetics is actually and I'm not sure I'm quoting this totally right, but it's basically the science of how lifestyle and things within our control actually affect our DNA and things more than what was originally thought. Epigenetics is kind of a new thing. Like, I think maybe not really new, but like in the last, I don't even know when it started. I heard about it probably 4, 5, 6 years ago. I'm sure it was maybe out before then. But so we want to definitely give our body the building blocks, like I mentioned. And the reason, so guys, when I start coaching with someone, the first thing that I do is I like to take them through a health survey. I like to ask them, you know, how much sleep they're getting, what are they eating, what do they drink, what do they do for fun, like all of these questions, because it gives me a broader view of who I'm dealing with. And because then I can see the cause. In most cases, I can be like, oh, there it is. There it is. Oh, that one, that one, that one. I get that. And then those are the places that we start to work first, right? So once I have that overall picture of who they are and what's going on inside of them, then we can now talk about or work on the things to improve their mental health. So nutrition is an area where we actually have a lot of control. People think that they don't. People think that, you know, I've got cravings. I can't not do this. I have to eat that. I have to eat that. And it's all a choice, I'm going to tell you. And one thing you're going to learn about me on this podcast is that I'm not going to sugarcoat things. I want you to get results and I want you to see transformation. And that means I'm going to be kind of really honest sometimes, right? You're going to definitely hear that from me. And so we have control over the choice of what we put in our body. Every single day, every single minute, we have the choice. So what we put in our body ultimately is building us, right? It's ultimately building us. So, there was a guy, Rob Knight. He's a PhD and he's the co-founder of something called the Earth Microbiome Project. I don't think I know what that is, but anyway, I liked his quote. It said, "The single greatest predictor of a healthy gut is the diversity of plants in our diet." What does that mean? The diversity of plants. That is how many different kinds of plants we can eat in a day. So there's a synergy that comes from diversity, right? Diversity of plants, I guess I should say. There's a synergy. There's things that happen that, like, the body can actually, when we give it all kinds of plants, every color of plant that we eat offers a different kinds of micronutrients, different antioxidants, and our body can actually pull those, like, use the synergy of different plants and different colors to build other things that we aren't even getting from that plant. Isn't that amazing? So when we eat a rainbow of colors every single day, our body can make polyphenols that, like I say, might not actually be in that actual plant. And this is the amazing power of how our bodies have been created. God knew that the way that he created us, he knows what is best for us. He knows. And he tells us, actually, in his word, he does tell us. So oxidative stress is always occurring in our body. It's just a byproduct of, you know, many of the functions that our body does. And that's the unfortunate part. However, God gave us plants. God gave us herbs, right? And the reason that we are supposed to eat lots of plants, different colors, all the time, is because we get the antioxidants that come from these plants will actually protect our cells from that oxidative stress and the free radical damage. Now, if you haven't heard that before, basically just means that when there's oxidative stress, there's things called free radicals kicked out, and that free radical then it's like he's running around and he's missing a part of himself. He wants the part of the guy next to him. So he's going to steal something from that cell next to him in order for him to be whole. But what happens is he's breaking down all these cells that he's coming in contact with. He's stealing stuff from them. And that we need somebody in there that's going to fight that free radical. That's going to give him what he needs without taking it from our cells. And that's what happens when we eat plants. There's a whole bunch of antioxidants that are going to protect our cells. So how much do we actually need? How many fruits and vegetables do we actually need in a day? You know, when I was growing up, I think I remember hearing that our food guide or our food pyramid or whatever said 5 to 7. And even then, as a young person, as a teenager, I never ate that. I'm sure I never ate that. But now guess what? Because of lower food quality, different growing practices, the pollution that we take in on a daily basis, they are now saying that we need between 7 and 13 servings of fruits and vegetables a day. And if you're going to be doing lots of exercise or lots of heavy, strenuous work every day, you should have more. Like, I think this thing that I was reading said 16 to 18 if you're doing an hour and a half of exercise every day or 5 days a week. So 16 to 18 servings, woohoo! That's a ton of produce. That's a ton of produce. There was a study by UCL study in 2014 that said that over a 13-year period, they studied people who ate more than 7 servings of fruits and vegetables per day. And get this, you guys, this is huge. 42% were less likely to die of any cause, and they had a reduced rate of cancer and heart disease by 25% and 31% respectively. This is huge. These are big killers, right? Big killers, heart disease and cancer. And they're saying that this can be reduced by eating plants. Wahoo! Yahoo! This is amazing stuff. So our standard American diet, whether you're in Canada or the US, it doesn't matter, is pretty much the same, right? Which is 2/3 of it is processed food. And only 1/3 of that is whole food, with only about 8% of that being fruits and vegetables. That's a really small piece of the pie. Especially, that pie should be the biggest piece because it's protecting our cells. We're not getting protected from many of the other foods, especially not processed foods. In fact, those things are doing more damage to us than anything. But even the other whole foods, meat, dairy, they're not protecting our cells the way that plants do. So we should, in fact, have way more fruits and vegetables in a day than other things. And that's for optimal health, that's what we should have. And so how do we do that? How do we get 7 to 13 servings of fruits and vegetables a day? Now, I've been whole food plant-based for many years. Like, I'm talking since 2009, I think, or 2008. That's a long time. So I know what it takes to eat that many servings of fruits and vegetables. And I mean, once you get doing it, it's not that hard, but it still takes effort, right? Like, you still have to go, okay, I need that one. I need that one. So there's a couple things that you can do. Juicing. I love juicing. I don't do it very often just because, to me, I hate the waste. I hate all that produce, that all the pulp and all the fiber of all those produce that is being wasted, but it is still good. And that's a really amazing way to get, a lot of antioxidants quickly is juicing. It's just not really, it takes time and it does take money and it does take produce, right? Like, you have to have that. So that's a thing. But there's also, people say, vitamin and mineral supplementation. But here's where I want to put a little bug in your ear about vitamin and mineral supplement. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some vitamins that I definitely think we should be supplementing. That is vitamin D3, because we, in North America, or at least in Canada, we do not get enough sunshine from October until May in order to make enough vitamin D3. So that one, I say everyone should supplement through the winter months for sure, for sure. B12 is another one. That I definitely, or even a B complex. I do think that one is important, but the problem with supplements is that that is not nature made. Supplements are made in a lab and they're man-made. They're extracted, manipulated, you know, whatever. So sometimes our body doesn't actually know how to deal with a certain vitamin, especially because that synergy thing that I was talking about, when we put the pieces in together as a whole, the body knows what to do with them. The body knows what to do with, you know, the 10,000 nutrients that come from an apple because they're all in small doses, but it doesn't necessarily know what to do with that big dose of vitamin A or that big dose of copper or that big dose of magnesium. It actually may harm us because the body may have to overcompensate for a part or a mineral or something that we don't have. And now the body has to pull it from somewhere else in order to overcompensate or compensate for the overusage or overdosage of what we just got in our vitamin. The other downside to vitamins and minerals is that a lot of times they can be just passed before they're even broken down. And I've heard stories of a guy that was cleaning septic systems and he said he sees so many vitamins and minerals in the septic tank that are not broken down. So if it's not being broken down and we're passing it, guess what? You're not getting anything from it. So that's the thing about vitamins and minerals. So I'm not a big proponent of vitamins and minerals, except for the ones that I mentioned. However, I do believe in whole food. Absolutely 100%. And there is a way to get concentrated whole food. It's fruits and veggies in capsule form. And this is, it's never designed to replace whole food. We still need whole food. We still need the fiber. We still need the plants. But this is a bridge that's going to give you what you are eating to what you should be eating. That's that bridge, right? And so that you always have an insurance policy that you're getting enough fruits and vegetables and your cells are being protected. So there is something called Juice Plus, which I love, love, love. I've been taking it for, quite a few years on and off, right? I've had to play with that a little bit just because wasn't sure. But I'm sure now I see the power of vitamins and minerals and I see the studies that have been done on what happens when someone is consuming high amounts plus high diversity of plants and plants like fruits and vegetables. So if you want to know more about how you can get encapsulated fruits and veggies that you can easily get, you're way surpassing your 7 to 13 servings a day. And you want to know a little bit more about that and how that can impact you and your kids, your parents, everybody can benefit. You can definitely check the description. I'll have a link there. You can go check that out and just learn about how to put more plants and fruits and vegetables or plants of any description, seeds, nuts, all of these things into your diet. Because when you put more plants and more fiber into your gut, that is how you get healthy gut bacteria, right? That's how you increase your good bacteria. And by increasing your good bacteria, you decrease your bad bacteria. Also, if you've been on antibiotics or things like that, you may need to supplement for a little while with a probiotic or a prebiotic. Again, you can ask me about that. I do have one that I prefer when I do take it. I don't take it all the time, but anyway, so by changing one simple thing in our diet or in our life, just by adding more plants, we can actually change our mental health because, like I say, this is your second brain. The gut is talking to the brain way more than the brain is talking to the gut. And here's the other cool thing. You know how people have, I just have such a craving for this and I can't not have that. The more plants that you put in your body, the more plants you're going to want to eat. And therefore you don't have room. You just don't have room for all the other processed junk food, for starters. And for the other thing is you kind of lose your taste for it. All of a sudden it's like, that donut doesn't taste very good to me anymore. And that may sound scary to you. That may be like, what? I want this. I don't want it to not taste good. But how important is your mental health to you? Is it worth a few simple changes? I hope so, because that's what this podcast is going to be about. So I truly hope that your mental health is worth that to you, and that you're willing. It doesn't have to be hard. You don't have to give up everything, but it's like taking one baby step at a time to improved mental health, and just getting out from under that dark cloud, right? There's a whole world out there that is not seen when that dark cloud is sitting on you. And so that is my wish for you, my prayer for you is that you open up and want to see what is actually out there instead of what might be right in front of you. So that's all I have for you today. Oh, by the way, there's going to be another component to this particular one about microbiome, which I'm going to do. That's going to be my next podcast. Because this one was going to get too long, but I needed to touch on fat and the brain, right? It may not be what you're thinking. So tune in to the next episode and we will touch on that as well. So take care. God bless. And I will see you very soon. Have you been blessed or encouraged, motivated by this episode? If so, then I would love to hear from you. You can show your gratitude to me and to show me that I've actually given you value by just dropping a quick little review on this podcast. It warms my heart to hear from you. And also, it'll help other people find this podcast that can be blessed or encouraged as well. And if you know someone who needs to hear this, then by all means, share away. And if you want to find out more about how you can, you know, we could possibly work together, just come on over to ditchingdepression.com and you can find my contact details there. Take care and God bless.